She's pretty cute.
Adorable.
All right, you guys ready to dive into the Star Wars thing?
Are you ready?
Can you act a little more excited?
Hey,
I'm
here to drink and to record.
I'm not going to be, I'm not a huge fan, but I'm a fan.
Well, I think it goes like big fan, middle of the road fan, not a fan at all.
I'm a fan. I just haven't seen the new one.
We're going to spoil the shit out of it for you.
That's okay. I'm not like a diehard fan like you three are. Like, I like Star Wars, but it's whatever.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
I'm really questioning our friendship so much. Between that and you guys, between that and you and Stacey saying that you thought the morning show was eh.
Oh my God.
Stacey said, it's cute. And I was like, no, cute. It's not cute.
Cute. It's groundbreaking television.
I know. I'm questioning our friendship more and more every day.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to a special episode of the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I am Stacey, the political princess.
I thought you were going to fuck that up.
Oh,
I thought I was going to fuck it up.
Are you going to be a new age mom today?
Sometimes. It's hard to remember. There's two Stacey's, and it's difficult.
If Lincoln can figure it out, you can figure it out.
Every time Stacey's not here, I almost say her thing.
Which is hilarious.
I crushed it that time, and Jackie ruined it.
Got this.
I'm Erin, the geeky gal pal.
And I'm Bueno.
And I'm Anne.
All right. So Jean has a social life, so she's not with us today. And Stacey's away on a family trip. So, and I think both of them aren't sad about missing the Star Wars episode. But I'm here with you. You're welcome. And, well, we'll go over what we're drinking first. I'm drinking Tucana. It's a 2019 Syrah. You guys know how I feel about Syrah. I mean, it's real sweet. So that's not my jam. And it's a screw cap, which should have been my first. Mm-hmm. But, again, the bottle, the goddamn marketing got me.
That is really cool bottle.
I know. It's super cool. And it's made in the Western Cape of South Africa, which that's really neat.
Sounds fancy.
Tucana is one of the star constellations in the group known as the Southern Birds. It was first observed by Dutch explorers on the first Dutch trading mission, 1595 to 1597, to the East Indies when they were sailing past South Africa. A dense red wine with aromas of pepper and blackberries. It does not. It is very, it is velvety soft on the palate and delights with spicy flavors. It does not. Rounded off with a lingering aftertaste. It does do that. Lingering aftertaste for sure.
It has opportunity for improvement is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that was very diplomatic of you.
Thank you.
Oh, man. All right. I am drinking this Golden State Cider, which is like one of my favorite ciders. This is the Mighty Dry one. And I will say it is mighty dry. One of the things I like about Golden State Ciders is that they use champagne yeast. And I forget what it's called, but I like, they have one that's in like a maroonish color can and it has hibiscus in it and stuff. And it's so good. I think I like that one better than this one.
If you're getting maroon yeast, there may be an issue.
You like things dry.
Probably. But this is, it's gluten-free. It's vegan friendly. It's got no added sugars, no concentrate. I like their ciders a lot. This just is not, I like the champagne yeast in it. I think you can taste it. But I like the other one better.
Is that the one you bought today at Trader Joe's?
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome. I mean, it's good. It just is very dry and it's almost a little bitter.
But
I like
can,
my cider to have.
The can
just,
is real cute.
The can is so cute. Look at that little
God,
guy.
It is cute.
It's
an otter. Got an otter on it.
Aww, I love it.
Hey, otter, try it.
I am
otter,
drinking.
Try it.
Damn.
That was good. I don't know if I should even go now. That was really good. I am drinking Band of Roses, Rosé, Washington State. I've had this one other time on here. It was my very first time on the podcast. And that was, I think, the first sex talk or one of the first sex talks. I don't remember. But
you drank a lot on that, so it's hard to say.
And we really broke you in if we had you on the sex.
I really was. It was like, hi, Erin, talk about clitorises. So,
Clitori.
Oh, my God. At least weeks I didn't have to talk about dicks, which was fun. So yeah, I really enjoy this rosé. It's really, really good. I'm a big fan of Washington State wines anyway, so I really enjoy this. And there's not a whole lot on the back, and I'm not going to read it other than to say I finish on, all right, and I'm finishing it tonight. Just letting you know. Not that that's news.
Within the hour?
Probably.
Okay, so I did not do wine this time. I did sparkling cider because that was left over from Christmas, and spiced rum because everybody's telling me they should try, was it Fireball? Because it makes it taste like an apple pie.
Who was telling you that?
People.
I mean, people. In high like, school? You know, like, what
drunk
do you mean?
People. Drunk people are telling you.
It's not bad. It's really sweet. It tastes just like apple cider. I might not taste the rum because, you know, it's still at that top. And I'm a little scared to get down to the bottom.
It gets you. But you know what? I'm not opposed to making little cocktails out of wine because I had some leftover sparkling rosé from New Year's. And last night I mixed it with some, like, some kind of berry lemonade sparkling thing from Trader Joe's. And it was like a little spritzer. It was very good.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Sounds delicious.
And what are you drinking?
Well, I opened the good stuff for you ladies.
Oh.
I have a bottle of, I'm a big fan of the Paso Robles wine.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have a membership to a winery.
If you come visit us, we can go there.
Yeah.
2 hours, 3 hours away.
So I have a bottle of Summerwood Sencho 2016. It's a blend because they do a lot of, you know, red blends. That's okay. Kind of what that region is known for.
We'll have to bring
it's a blend of Merlot, Cab Franc, Malbec, and Cabernet Sauvignon. And ooh, it is very delicious in my beautiful glassware that is sitting on a Baby Yoda coaster.
Yeah. I love it.
No, but so this is one of my favorite wineries. So I had to open the good stuff to celebrate with you gals.
Our old boss bought a house in Paso because she loved the wine so much. And I mean, she has a lot of money, obviously, but she bought a house. She wants to retire down there. Like,
yeah.
Is she single?
No, she's married to a dude. So.
Oh, never mind.
But
I
she
just wanted to throw it out there.
She mocks Stacy and I for the wine we drink. She sent for when Lex and I got married, she sent like, I don't know, like a $160 bottle of wine. And we made the mistake of telling her that we like drank it straight out of the bottle, like all of us just passing it around. And she was like,
in a bar.
Of all the years I worked for her, and I've worked for her essentially since I was 16, I've never seen her more appalled with me than when I told her.
I just moved it over. Like, she drank it with friends.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I left and moved to Pennsylvania, she bought me another insanely expensive bottle of wine. And then I told her that we drank it while we were in Vegas out of red solo cups, and she lost her.
Oh.
I don't know why she keeps giving me wine.
That's just give me Franzia.
Well, it was funny too, because I tried to talk you out of it at the wedding, but you were like, I want to drink it with you guys.
Yeah, that's
you're all sentimental.
That's on brand.
I talked you into it both times. I was excited.
Stacy and I went over and had drinks with her one night in Pleasanton, and she has cases and cases and cases of wine sitting in her living room because she just got her monthly shipment, I guess. This woman probably spends as much on her monthly shipment as most people do on their car payments. And she brings out this one bottle, and we're like drinking it. We're like, oh my God, this is really good. And she goes, oh, you guys could probably afford this one. We're like, how much is it? She's like, oh, it's like $60. We're like, no, absolutely not. We can't afford it. Are you kidding me?
For just like a Wednesday.
Her table wine is $60.
Yeah.
No. Poe, that's why we came here.
I want to
have to give you a rave.
All right.
Goals, goals, goals.
Oh, look at you.
All right. Oh, the score. Can we just talk about the score in every right. movie.
I'm gonna turn my mic off. You guys go ahead.
Oh, wait, can I just say something? Did you guys realize that John Williams had a cameo in this movie?
No.
He was the bartender that had that weird thing on his eye, and when they were going to see Babu. Yeah, so when they're walking through the bar and they look at the bartender, that was John Williams.
I knew it had to be somebody because they slowed down enough that I knew it was a cameo, but I didn't know who it was.
Yep, that was John Williams.
Son of a bitch.
Uh-huh.
I'll have to Google that.
Okay, is Babu Frick not the cutest little thing?
Yes,
he was one of my favorite characters.
Yes, he was cute.
He was so little and cute, and he also sounded like how we sound at the end of some podcasts. Like, all like a drunk little creature.
Wait, should we mention spoiler alerts? Should we say spoiler alert? Like, don't listen.
Yeah, don't listen to this if you haven't seen all of the Star Wars.
Go see it and then come back and listen.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yes.
No, don't listen because you should have seen it by now. And you don't get to be a fan.
I told that to you, Stacey.
Go see it and then come back and then listen.
All right. Do we have like any rhyme or reason of how we want to do this, or should we just go shoot from the hip?
Are we just going off?
This is your guys' show. I'm just here.
Okay. This is what I think we should do. I think we should just right away.
Aaron's got it all planned.
How do you feel about The Rise of Skywalker? And go.
I've already seen it 3 times. I could see it over and over again. Every time I watch that movie, I notice something different. Or I come back and I do a little more research and it gives me a little more information. And then I go and see it again. And every time Carrie Fisher character Leia dies, I cry all over again in the theater. I mean, the music still gets me. I get the tinglies all throughout the movie. Every time. It's just amazing. I loved it.
Absolutely. Stacey?
Same. I thought it paid such good fan service. And I could see where, if you're not like a diehard fan, I can see where maybe you just don't appreciate those moments as much. But same thing. I think I cried about 17,000 times during the movie. I cried when I thought Chewie died. Cried when Leia died. Mm-hmm. I cried when Luke's Force Ghost came back. I cried when Han Solo came back. I cried the whole ending.
The whole last few
minutes of the movie, I just cried through the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Bueno, what are your thoughts on it?
So let me first say, I am not an Uber fan, or I'm like a middle of the road fan. I've seen all of them. I went to the movies and saw this one because it was the end. I think it was an homage to the first ones ever made. So what's that, episode 4, 5, and 6? But I was left with lots of questions. I'm so confused. And I wanted something bigger, better, like unsuspecting. And it wasn't. It was, to me, it was the same ending as like the originals. And I'm like, I wanted something different. I was hoping, I mean, we spent so many years waiting for this. I think I was expecting way more.
Okay, well, I know, right? So let me. Becky's here for like the background.
I will be the official peanut gallery.
Here to get drunk and make comments. Yeah,
I'm just gonna get drunk and talk shit.
She told you. okay, so I'm gonna say what I like my feelings about it, and then I think what we should do. I'm sorry that I'm just like taking.
You should go through her questions.
Yeah, I absolutely want to do that. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so like my thoughts on the whole the movie were like I was completely unspoiled as far as reading anything about it. Like, so I went in just knowing like the 2 trailers that I had seen each about 500 times a piece. So that being said, like I went in completely. I mean, I think it was weird, first of all, because, you know, each movie was, well, it was J.J. Abrams and then it was Rian Johnson and then it was J.J. Abrams again. And you know, I liked The Last Jedi. I thought it was good, but I didn't love it. Right?
Same.
So I was like, okay, I'm really excited. JJ's back at the, you know, at the helm. He's steering this thing. Let's see what he can do. I sat down in the theater and I was like running late, which was like so fucking not like me. Like I was like, oh my God, if I miss the previews, I'm gonna die. So like when I sat down, I was like sweating. I was like so excited. Like the guy next to me was like talking and I was like, if you fucking talk through this whole movie, I'm going to kill you. And it was like the previews, you know? And I'm like, I was like that person. That being said, all of that being said, I sat through most of it with my mouth open because I was so just like taken back by some of the things that happened in good and bad ways. Yeah. Like some of the things that happened, I was like, thank you, Jesus. Like, this is exactly what I wanted. And then other things that happened, I was like, God damn it. That's not what I wanted, but it's not, I didn't hate it. So at the end of it, I mean, Stacey, like you said, like you cried a million times. Like I cried so many, I cried the minute the music started because it just always gets me. It takes my breath away. And then I also cried the first time I saw Leia. Yeah. I cried when like
you. She hugged Rey.
And then Rey's crying and she's crying. Everyone's crying. I'm crying. And it's just, it was just so emotional. And I really truly felt that when I sat through the whole thing and I, the lights came up and I was sitting there a hot sobbing mess. I was like, okay, like I'm just going to leave it in the theater. But as I walked to my car and continued to think about it, like this movie to me was the end that I needed as a fan. Do I think it could have been more? Sure. Am I okay that it wasn't? Yes. Because it did a lot for me in the sense that I had a lot of things answered and I still got to see my favorite people that I've grown up with.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I still got to see Leia. I still got to see Han and I still got to see Luke. And I mean, you heard Yoda. So it was just very, very, very emotional for me. And I was driving home going, why am I so fucking emotional? And I'm like crying at the stoplight. Like, why am I? And it's just saying goodbye to these amazing people that George Lucas created. And it's just knowing that was the end for the three that I will always love, and Chewie as well. Like I always loved Chewie. So it just was, it was so good, but it was also like, I have some issues as well. So I'm excited to hear like what Bueno's questions are and everything.
Oh, well, let me first tell you that because I was not able to get a hold of you. I went down a rabbit hole and decided to research a whole bunch about Star Wars. Like, because here was my first thing. I was like, what the hell is this thing, the dyad, where there's two people that feel so close together that they have this enormous power? But then I went down like something called a midichlorian, and there's midichlorian levels. I see everybody else but me knows this.
We're nerds.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm officially a nerd because I researched it. But here's my thing. Like, okay, was all of this stuff, did we already all know it about Star Wars? Or because that took me off. I'm like, what the hell? That's like, okay, there's somebody that doesn't watch Star Wars. How am I supposed to know that the dyad's the most powerful thing? You think they would have mentioned that way back, like in hopes that we would later learn that those two are the dyad. So to me, that story was, well, we're going to put this together because we can't explain why these two work out so well. Like, so who writes all this stuff about, like, the midichlorians, the dyad, like, those little tiny things? Is that George Lucas? Are these fans that are doing it? Who is doing all of that information?
Well, a lot of the information that happened with midichlorians was actually answered in episode one. Mm-hmm. Like, they talked at great length about how Anakin Skywalker's midichlorian level was, like, off the charts. And even though he was too old, technically, to be trained as a Jedi, like, his midichlorian level meant he needed to at least try. So that was where, like, the first time I ever heard about midichlorians. Up until episodes 1, 2, and 3, I don't think I was a super diehard fan. I just was obsessed with the first three movies.
Yeah.
But then, like, episode one happened, and so many things that you wondered about in 4, 5, and 6 started to be answered. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they, like, I think a lot of, like, the dyad and the depth of midichlorians, I don't necessarily know if George Lucas 100% said, yes, that is canon, or if a lot of fans came up with these things and wanted to dive deeper that became fan fiction that then all honestly became canon. Yeah, so like I too was thrown in The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi when they were connected. I was absolutely thrown by that, by Rey and Kylo, or Ben, however you want to refer to him. I was totally thrown by that. But it was cool. It was so fucking cool.
I thought that was cool.
Right? It was so cool because it's like to see these two, light and dark, which we've alluded to light and dark and how you have to have balance in the Force a couple times before. But like, it was just neat to see that, like, even though they were light and dark, they still had this thread that connected them. I think it's just cool. I don't know. Does anyone else have anything to say about that?
No, I agree with Aaron, your point about, yeah, there's some aspects of different levels in the Force where people are connected or they have different levels of ability. But that, yeah, that specific connection between Kylo and Rey was very unique. And it's something that maybe they're going to use for, you know, future movies, future shows, because they do a lot of, you know, there's still the development of comics and then the cartoon type of shows that they explore. And then also, I don't play the games, but I know there's a big video community where they continue to grow the stories. And so some of those things also come back into play with all these other media aspects of Star Wars, where you almost have to, you do have to go back in and go down a rabbit hole. Even as a fan, I've been watching it since the very beginning. And I had to go back and do some research. And I will say to anybody who's listening to this podcast, if you haven't seen the movie, go and watch all of the episodes. Like, I went back and rewatched 4, 5, and 6, 7, 8. But then I came back after seeing for the first time and I was like, oh, crap, I have to go back and rewatch episodes 1, 2, and 3 as well. So I think it's really important to go back and see all of the prior episodes before watching this one, and even do a little research on some cameos or, you know, things to look for, because there's a lot going on in every single shot in that in that movie. And there has been talk about a director's cut being released, because I guess a lot was left on the floor of J.J. Abrams' director's cut. So that we might be seeing even more material. So would that be amazing?
Yeah.
That would be incredible. I agree that I feel like there's always going to be gaps in some of the knowledge, just because there's such a time jump in between all of the trilogies. That there's always going to be stuff that you're like, what's that? Where'd that come from? How'd that happen? But I really do agree that in all of the episodes, there's that emphasis on there needing to be balance between light and dark. And it totally reminds me of Game of Thrones, too, with the whole, like, Song of Ice and Fire. Like, it takes those two and that connection and Jon Snow and Daenerys. Like, that whole thing I thought was very reminiscent of Kylo and Rey and that balance, and how it doesn't mean there's going to be a happy ending and those two are going to go together and everything is going to be fine. It's often a sacrifice that has to happen between those two, you know, to really get to the you know, resolution. And I just thought it was super interesting. The one thing I did want to say that is not related to your question, Bueno, but Aaron touched on it a minute ago, was the difference in this and Force Awakens and then The Last Jedi. Because I like these two movies that J.J. Abrams did so much more. And one of the things that I noticed was missing from The Last Jedi was the humor.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I think that this movie and Force Awakens have that same, like, and I think it's also missing from 1, 2, and 3. It just has that, like, C-3PO comic relief and all of those things that make it cute and endearing and but also still smart and fun and suspenseful and all of those things. And I thought this movie did it really well.
Yeah, I agree. I wanted to say one other thing about what you had asked, Bueno, is, like, one of the things, like, them being connected, that's I mean, and like you know, you've seen the movies, but like they're like Luke and Obi-Wan were connected after Obi-Wan's death. Like he could still hear him, you know, continuously, even though he was gone.
You have the Force ghost thing. And
yeah. So I think there's obviously different levels of a connection. And, you know, like Force healing was never something that happened until The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And then it's like that episode came out the day before before the Rise of Skywalker. Mm-hmm. So like, mm-hmm. if you hadn't seen that, you were like, where the fuck was Force healing? Like,
the whole time.
Yeah, like it's been here the whole time, you know, like what the fuck?
Could have healed a lot of people.
Yeah, what the hell, you know, like it's just like crazy because the idea that it's been there this whole time and no one's done it yet was very like jarring for some people that hadn't even been following along that this was an option. So
I think even just the idea that like, you could use every ounce of your life force just to communicate.
Right, right, exactly. And just like you could, in all intents and purposes, actually give your life to someone else.
Yeah.
And that is at the end what I think Kylo did. And I think it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I could have done without the kiss, but that's okay.
I shipped it. I loved it.
See, I liked it, but I don't love it. Does that make sense? Like, I'm okay with it, but I could have done without it. You know, like, it was never, like, my favorite, like, romantic thing that had happened in any Star Wars movies. And to be honest, I mean, that's always going to be Han and
Leia. I have feelings about this because I agree. Yeah. I think it's Han and Leia.
Yes.
Here's the thing I loved about this movie. I thought this trilogy. I thought it had such complex and real human relationships.
Absolutely.
Right? I don't think there's that one, like, this person and this person chemistry. I think there's so much chemistry between everybody. Because I would watch something that was just Kylo and Rey. I would watch Rey and Finn. I would watch Rey and Poe, who I think have, like, bonkers chemistry. Mm-hmm. Like, there's definitely something there. I love the bromance between Poe and Finn.
Oh, yeah.
Same, same.
Finn and who's the chick that he was with for the most rest of this movie?
Oh, the girl. It was Carrie. What's her name? Carrie Russell.
Okay, no, Poe and Carrie Russell. I thought had great chemistry, but I thought Finn and the chick when they go and find the Death Star.
Yeah.
I thought they had like I just thought it was so complex, but it didn't rule out any of the other relationships at all for me. So I thought that I don't even think necessarily that was the most romantic kiss.
No.
You know what I mean? I don't even think that it was necessary. It was just like, I think it was just that connection and that intensity and that, and obviously it's romantic, but I don't think it was this big, like, lovey-dovey story where, you know, if things were different, they would have gotten married and fell in love and whatever. Like, I don't think that's them.
And that confused the crap out of me because I'm sitting there and I'm watching it and then all of a sudden they kiss. And I was like, well, I wasn't expecting this at all. So I go rewatch the second one. And I'm like, okay, I can see the connection there. But then I start to think, I'm like, wait, if you're going to be a Jedi, you can't be with another person. Like that's how Darth Vader becomes Darth Vader, right? So Rey should technically not be with anybody. And I shut that off at the very beginning where like, she can't have any romance with any of these people. So assume this is friendships. So throwing in a romance story in there, I was like, what are you doing? Cause it wasn't played well in any other movie. And then all of a sudden she kisses him. I'm just like, why can't we just high five or something? I don't know.
No, see, I thought it was still romantic, but I think she knows like it's not going anywhere. It's just a buildup of all of that emotion and stuff. Because really, romance, people don't want to think of it. It's such a huge part of this series.
Yeah,
it is.
Oh, I
really
agree.
Is. And it was hard.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Because I think it's like that tension that like, you know, that
you
whole
have
arc
to
in a
it.
Story where the characters are constantly fighting against each other. And then there's that exchange of energy and they couldn't help but need to have that physical connection. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think too, what was interesting was like seeing The Last Jedi and everything that happened between them and how, like, let's be real, that fight with Snoke and them two in The Last Jedi, one of the best fight sequences, you know, not even a single lightsaber was ever clanged against each other, but it was so fucking awesome. That part though, when he's like, I can show you the way, and she wants to take his hand so badly.
And won't.
So, yes. And so then in this one, for her to say to him, I would have taken Ben's hand. Like that was like very much chill inducing romantic. Yeah. Like I saw the romance. Did I like it or need it? No, but I understood why it was there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because I think she's so torn. She has that connection with the person he really is, which is Ben.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Kylo gets in the way of that. And that's where I think you know, like she knows at the end, like he's gonna die, but he's made that transition to Ben. So it's this, it's all of the what could have been, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like she could have had that life with him, but because of all
Jedi.
But apparently so was Leia, because Leia had the Force and Leia went on to have.
What was that? Yeah,
listen, Ben is working out some personal shit right now. Like,
there are rules. I want to stick to my rules.
Just like the royal family has changed rules over the years. I'm like, I think the Jedi should change some rules.
I do. I can see how it went, though, because it's just like anybody. You show a little aptitude, you show that you have it, and then it's a shit ton of training. So now we know what Leia spent all the time in between episode, six and seven doing.
But so, like, in your guys' mind, like, her deciding to step away, that was because, like, she decides to step away after she, like, basically bests Luke. She's, you know, that's the whole idea that she's going to not pursue being a Jedi, right?
But pregnant?
But I think it's also that duty to rule, right?
Yes, and like
because she's better served as a ruler than she is as a Jedi.
Okay, right. Cool. That's why
and
I'm like.
And she saw, but it said something about how she saw this image of her son dying or something related to if she had stayed a Jedi. I think she was afraid that something
would have.
Yeah, but I mean, as it turned out, you know, something terrible happened, and she didn't stay a Jedi. Had she stayed the Jedi and she trained him, maybe there would have been something different come of it. I don't know. I don't even know if they would have let that happen, but that would have been an interesting story to explore.
That would have been, actually, to see a female training.
Mm-hmm.
So,
now
we
will. Interesting.
Now we will see that.
Right. Yes. And did you guys hear Disney Plus is, apparently, this is a rumor, going to do a series about young Princess Leia.
Oh, I did hear that. And
with Millie Bobby Brown.
Yes, I did hear that. Yes. That I might be able to get behind that.
I'd be all over it.
You'll get behind
you
it.
You might. Right. Like, right.
Come on.
She'll be like, did you see Baby Leia?
1,000%.
Did you see Baby Leia? Yeah. Brace for all the Baby Leia gifts now.
The memes.
No, but I just thought that story was so well done because I think there's that super strong connection, and I think that's the strongest connection she has. But I think I got that same like one upper kind of situation as Han and Leia with Poe and Rey.
Oh yeah.
They have that like, will they love, hate, blah, blah, blah. Like I get that from them. So I just thought it was so like, you don't always just have one person that you're into. And I just appreciated that you can like,
oh, really?
Be like,
you tell us about your day.
Like Aaron, so you're saying there's a chance.
You know what I mean? When you're single, you could be like, oh man, I have this super strong connection with Kylo Ren over here, but I know he's no good for me. But then like, oh, Poe's so annoying and we flirt fight all the time. And then there's like, it just felt like it was
she
like.
She didn't list me, you guys. It's cool.
You went back to the real characters.
I think Finn and Rose should get together.
I didn't like Rose at all.
I like Rose.
I like she's Rose.
She's growing on me.
I liked Rose for the reason that she was there, but I'm not a big fan of like. I don't know.
The
part in The Last Jedi when they were on the casino planet.
Yeah.
Fucking hate that part of that movie. I hate it. I hate it so much. That is literally the worst part of any Star Wars movie aside from Attack of the Clones. Like, I can't stand that part. So, like, that really irritated me. But that's not Rose's fault. It's Johnson's. So,
I just looked up her name. Jonna is the one that he's with for, like, that whole second half of the movie. And I liked Finn and her together better.
Oh, yeah. She was pretty cool. She was pretty cool.
Yeah. Jonna was cool. Yeah. And then at the end, Billy Dee Williams is like, let's go find out where
I know. So I was like, I will watch that.
Actually, that could be. I think there was some conversation or something story I read about how he lost a child to. That was a storyline. I don't, in one of some, you know, one of the extended Star Wars universe books or whatever, that he might have lost a child.
I liked her connection with Finn over the two of them being stormtroopers.
Yeah, right. That was really cool.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think the defected, like, stormtrooper storyline is one of the most interesting storylines that's come out of this trilogy. Mm-hmm. The idea that it's not a clone.
Right.
The idea that
whole shifted over.
Yes.
Right.
That the conditioning has stopped. Like, need to be reconditioned to be this horrible stormtrooper again. I thought that was really interesting. And I also thought it was cool then that explained, like, why these stormtroopers were a little meaner, why these stormtroopers actually shoot. Why, you know, so a lot more, I think, went into why a stormtrooper is a stormtrooper now. Right. And I thought that was really interesting that in the very beginning of The Force Awakens, you could see Finn immediately shut down and be like an actual human again. I thought that was so cool. And I really enjoyed Finn's storyline throughout most of it. And I liked that his whole awakening with the Force happened. I think that that was really cool. And I'm really glad that they finally decided to come out and say, he was not going to tell Rey he loves her. Like, come on.
Wait, when did they say that?
Well, Finn actually, or the actor actually came out and said, hey, you guys, I was not going to tell Rey I loved her. I was going to tell her I have the Force. I am one with the Force, basically.
Right, because he could be her first pupil.
Yeah, but I felt like that. It was different relationship. So, because I thought Finn and Rey were a really cute couple in the beginning and middle and, well, until the end, because their friendship, like the way they did things for another, the way, like, he didn't go off and run away because, like, he was protecting her and she went to go find him. I love that friendship.
Again, but Lino's working out some shit right now.
I love that.
Luke and Leia. It was very Luke and Leia. We're like, he was kind of into her. She wasn't into him. I mean, they didn't turn out to be related. But
that's kind of disgusting.
And then who is she interested in? The asshole.
The bad boy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Also, I think the one thing that I didn't, because I do agree with you to a certain extent, Bueno, I did really enjoy their friendship. I thought they had a great friendship. And I love how it started. But the one thing I fucking hated about Finn was that he never trusted that Rey could do it.
Yes.
Always was like, Rey, like, stop, calm the fuck down. You don't need to go after her. She's a goddamn Jedi. She's fine. Like, you don't need to chase her in the middle of fucking Endor on, you know, the most, like, just horrific ocean on Endor.
I just
sunk, you know, Death Star to try to help her. She's fine. You know,
I don't even think so much it was him going in to save her. Like, I think he knows she doesn't need him to save her. I think it's like that's his only family.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think it's like a lack of confidence in her. I think it's just like, I think he knows too. There's something weird going on with her and Kylo. Uh-huh. And that's who's gonna be there.
Because he has the Force.
Because he has the Force. And I think he just knows that, like, this is some bigger shit. And that's his family.
I do think they maybe should have went into that a little bit more.
Yeah.
If you were, like, interested in them possibly being together, like, you were never told it wasn't going to happen.
That's
like,
true.
You know what I mean?
That's what I like about it with all those relationships, because you're never told that's not going to happen. She's kissing Kylo Ren because now he's Ben, and I'm like, damn, are her and Poe kind of cute together? Because Poe is hot.
They spoke, like, twice.
It's a shipper's paradise.
I know, but even with the Kylo stuff the whole time, you're, like, deep down, and this is, like,
you must like that type of relationship.
It's not the most feminine, like, dumb shit in the world to be like, no, but I could fix him if only he was Ben and not Kylo. Like, I think it could work. I want to take his hand. That's like, it just goes to show you, no matter how smart and badass you are, the second you're like, we have a connection and I can fix it. Like,
Stacey's working
game
some
over.
Shit out too.
Yeah.
That's all I'm taking from this. As an outside observer, y'all are working some shit out.
Hey, I'm fine.
Like the bad guy.
That's so funny.
Oh my God.
Why don't we want to be her friend? It stays.
Be the best friend.
right. I loved the fact that there are so many female voices in this movie, like that there are so many stormtroopers who were female. I love the fact that these last three episodes have introduced the fact that there are women stormtroopers and there are women leading. There's more women sitting around. I'll call it the boardroom.
Yeah.
You know, when all the evil people are right. coming up with women. Their diabolical plans.
Yeah.
That there are many women at that table. So I thought it was good to start seeing that. And now obviously the main character, our hero is a woman too. Mm-hmm. And I really do like that the Star Wars universe is starting to become more diverse, more women, more people of color. There was a scene at the end, two women embracing.
Yes, they did.
But I'd like to see more of that. I knew Disney hasn't really, they haven't jumped into it with 2 feet, putting more diverse characters, especially same-sex couples into this world. But maybe that'll be a lead into something happening in the net, in some the future movie shows, whatever they're, all their media outlets showing some more same-sex characters.
I agree, and let's cross our fingers for Cara Dune to be a lesbian.
Every day I'm getting down on my hands and knees and I'm like praying.
Wait, which one is that one?
She's in The Mandalorian.
Oh, I don't know that one.
You gotta watch The Mandalorian. It's so good.
I know, it's like I saw her and I'm like, Baby Yoda who?
I'm so into The Mandalorian.
Mandalorian,
well, you can have him.
Pedro Pascal. Oh.
I know, when they like finally take his helmet off, I'm like, what?
Oh, I need to Google if
you definitely need to watch it. It's very good.
It's really amazing.
I truly think that it's one of the best things to come out of the Star Wars universe since Disney took it over. I mean, I love Disney. Everyone knows my feelings about Disney. I've loved every Disney movie or every Star Wars movie that Disney's put out, but I truly think The Mandalorian's the best of everything.
Original content.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so fucking good.
Well, and that's why I'm looking forward to all these new characters coming into the Star Wars universe in these three movies. And I can't wait to see what they do with them going forward. I'm really excited.
So is it over or are they?
So that original story's over.
The original story
is over, but they are not going to waste the traction that these new characters right? have.
Yeah, Rey's not gone.
Rey's like not gone.
The story of like Rey and Kylo Ren and them.
Yeah,
like that is over. But right. I doubt those characters are gone because
they're not going to go anywhere.
I don't think they knew what gold they had with those characters because I really do think that just Poe and Rey and Finn are so endearing and BB-8 is so cute and I was really sad. What's his name died and I really liked him. Why can't I think of his name now?
Was it the Snap Wexley who died? The actor's name is Greg. He was in an X-Wing.
Was he in an X-Wing?
Yes.
I know who you're talking about.
He's the guy. He's kind of a more rounder face in the beginning.
Yeah, he was on Alias or something.
And then didn't he say to Leia when he came up to her and he was like, it's not possible. It's not going to happen. And she's
right. And they're like, sound more positive.
Right.
Yeah, okay. It's going to be great.
So here's a question. Yeah. As someone who's not nearly a super fan the way you guys are, I like Star Wars. It's fine, but it's whatever to me. So what do you guys think was the best part of The Rise of Skywalker and what was the worst part of Rise of Skywalker? And it can't be something generic like Carrie Fisher's no longer with us.
Okay, no, I got one.
Like storyline.
Okay, it is going to be Carrie Fisher. I think the best part was that this was always supposed to be like Leia's movie, the one about Leia. Like the first one was about Han, the second one was Luke, and this was supposed to be Leia's movie. And I love that they kept it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also not that it's the worst part, But I think that because they had to use what they had, some of her dialogue comes off a bit awkward to me.
Agreed.
Like that she answers questions, she has conversations in a way that that character wouldn't normally speak. But I totally get it. Like you use what you have and you try to make it work. And so I think that if you don't know that they did this posthumously and they didn't have her and stuff, I think it could come off a little like jarring the way that the conversation goes. But I also am so glad they had those scenes. And I was reading an interview with Billie Lourd when she talked about like when they went into this, that she told J.J. Abrams, I want to be in scenes with her. So it's so sweet because her character, comes and interrupts her and lets her know, like, you have a message, you have a this, you have a that, because she wanted to be able to show her grandkids one day, like, here's me and my mom in this movie. And I thought that was, like, so endearing. And I know that's not about the storyline, but I just...
But it is a little.
And so yeah. I'm glad they just paid so much service to her, because Princess Leia is just such an icon for, like, for everyone. She's just the best. And... she doesn't put up with anybody's bullshit. She's smart. She's funny. She doesn't need anybody else. Like, right from the get-go, like, the very first time you see her, she's mouthing off to Darth Vader, and she's, like, she doesn't need to be rescued. Give me that laser gun. I'm going to
shoot her. She doesn't like, even need a bra.
Doesn't even need a bra. She is just a wonderful miracle, and I think she's delightful. I also really, really loved, what's his name, the droid?
Dio?
Dio, I thought he was so funny. I have a friend who doesn't like to be hugged, and so we saw it. My friend Crystal was like, "That's Kayla." When they try and touch him, and he's like, "No, thank you."
I'm gonna go next. So I think my favorite part was how they handled Chewie with him. You think he's dead, and then he's not, and you're like, "Oh my god, that was amazing." My least favorite part was the fact that they brought back Emperor Palpatine. I don't like that. I was very disappointed with that entire thing. I didn't like that at all.
I don't think I cried more than when Chewie reacted to Leia dying. He just let out that big thing and I was like...
I know, right? It was like, it was very reminiscent of when Han died.
Yes.
And like, I was just like, I'm gonna die here. I'm just gonna cry into my fucking popcorn. It was... Yeah, absolutely.
I'll go. Cause...
Oh, okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay, go. No, all right, well, I think the storyline was both the best and the worst part of it. So the idea that, okay, yeah, there's this big weapon and it's going to kill mass people and we have to kill it somehow. That's the storyline. And that, I think that's why I really liked the last one, was because they didn't win. I really like the fact that they didn't win and they had to escape. So this one, it was like back to the old norm. But I also like back to the old norm because it's that comfortability about it. It's the homage. It's the, well, now we have a lot of destructors and we're going to kill a lot of Earths. So let's go after them. And I like that there's still hope and all that other things. Like, that's what I loved about it. But again, that's also what I didn't like about it, was there's nothing new to it.
I can understand why you're saying that. I mean, because, yeah, it's like, it's not like one big, huge weapon. It's just massive amounts of Star Destroyers that are all equipped to kill planets.
Right. Like, I mean, we got the Death Star, and then we got the Death Earth, and then we got, like, multiple Death Stars.
Star. Like, what a killer base. Like,
the same thing every time.
Really, it is. And, I mean, but at the end of the day, if you're fighting a Star War, like, what's the most devastating thing that could happen is some sort of thing that could kill an entire planet.
Yeah,
I guess so. It's like yes, I agree with you, because that's what my one complaint about The Force Awakens was very reminiscent of A New Hope.
Yeah,
you know.
I agree. So the thing that I hated about this movie was I got a little too logical, and I was like, how? So there's this planet that you have to get through on this, like, there's all these special, like, two devices that'll help you navigate your way to the Sith world. So how did they get all of the construction material to build all these Star Destroyers? And how are they going to get all the people? Is it the Siths who are going to actually man the Star Destroyers? Are they trained? Or are they just sitting around looking creepy in their dark hoods? Like, how do you get all these Star Destroyers manufactured in the ground of this world when you can't even get to it without special devices?
Horcruxes.
I'm sorry.
They're right. Hope, like, dark side hope.
Well, also, like, how did Emperor Palpatine survive the fucking Death Star being blown to pieces?
I have a bigger question for you. How does he have a granddaughter? Who fucked that guy?
Yeah.
Right?
He didn't look as bad as that when he would have had his child.
You're
right?
also assuming that he had consensual sex.
Oh, this is true.
Oh, jeez. Jackie, wait
up for you. Not all children are conceived out of love, is all I'm saying.
He didn't have sex.
Star Wars.
Also, other question for you, which is a very big love hate for me if I'm being logical, was when in the Force
can
you all of a sudden send your lightsaber to another location, but still it was the coolest shit I've ever seen in my life.
Coolest shit ever.
Right.
When she
right.
took those two, when she had the two lightsabers.
And she handed him one.
And she handed Ben one. Right. And I was like, how that happened? I don't even care. It's so cool. Like,
but,
it just.
But wait, that was right after the other scene that I was so upset at. And that is when the Knights of Ren started approaching him as he was making his way to Rey and the throne room.
Yeah.
He had a weapon. Why didn't he just shoot them?
Right?
Why didn't why don't you just shoot them?
Yeah, it makes it very good. Yeah.
You had a gun.
Well, and it was just funny too, like in that same moment when you're like, this isn't realistic, but it's so fucking cool. When
right, Luke's but it was still force, a great fight scene.
But the same thing happened when Luke's Force Ghost
like grabs the fucking
raises
the
his thing out of the water. And there's just water pouring out of the X-Wing everywhere. And I was like, what is happening? But this
how did they dry it off?
It's sealed inside because, you know, if it could fly through space, it has to stay.
But if it's sealed inside, it would float. Being in the Navy, if it was sealed inside, it would float. That's how submarines work.
And on submarines, there are sailors.
There are.
Yes.
What was your favorite part, Anne?
I just think I love the whole bringing everything to a close for me. I love the movie from the beginning to the end. I like the fact that there were more relationships throughout with, you know, between different characters. I think one of you had mentioned that earlier. I love the fact that it's the lead is a female. And I'm just really excited to see the direction that Disney will take these characters in for the next movies.
I will say this, again, as someone who's not a diehard Star Wars fan, it is insanely impressive that a story can hold up through the test of time the way Star Wars has. I mean, I think the only other franchise that has been able to do something similar and not even to the extent that Star Wars has is probably Star Trek is the only thing that they put more out. People continue to go back to them. I mean, the storyline of Star Wars with the longevity that it has sustained its popularity could rival The Great Gatsby and Wuthering Heights and like all of these masterpieces. I'm not saying it's as good. I'm saying you're also talking about apples and oranges, right? Like I'm not comparing the writing ability of F. Scott Fitzgerald to the creators of Star Wars. I'm saying the fact that it has lasted this long with people still going to see it three times, throwing money at whatever is produced by it is probably something that we'll probably never see again in our lifetimes. Like this is a once in, this spans generations.
Yeah.
Like this well, and it's one of those things before the four of us were born, this came into the world. Like It's insane that it is still as popular. Star Wars was the very first movie I ever saw on like VHS. Like it was.
Right.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, if you look at like A New Hope isn't just popular for people who were kids and teenagers in the 70s when it came out.
Right.
Lincoln's going to watch A New Hope for the first time and think it's amazing. I watched, like you said, A New Hope for the first time on VHS. Like it's one of those things that really, it really just, the storyline holds up. Does the acting and the effects and everything hold up?
They're so bad.
They keep upgrading the movie, right?
Yeah. So it's always going to be a little different because I think 1, 2, and 3 look terrible. But it's all, you know what? The more I think about it, when I go back and watch those movies, I don't think they're that bad. I think the chemistry between Natalie Portman and Hayden Christensen is just so bad.
Natalie Portman's on my list, so I'll watch anything with her.
I love Natalie, but if the whole storyline revolves around their relationship, they have negative chemistry.
Right. Let's talk about Natalie Portman for a second. Natalie Portman as Jane in Thor.
I'm involved in this one. Let's talk about Natalie Portman.
Right, Natalie Portman as Jane. Absolutely perfect, right? Like, she can act. Yes. Natalie Portman can act. Do I think that the material she was given for episodes 1, 2, and 3 was shit? Absolutely.
Yes.
Am I upset with George Lucas because of it? Sort of. But I think it is very difficult to make politics exciting for children.
Well, that was their whole fuck up, right? Was trying to gear that series towards children.
Exactly.
And really only the first one, because the first one is like Jar Jar Binks and flying the things and whatever. And then you get into the second one and you're like, oh no, now it's romance and now it's lost. Yeah. But one is terrible. 2 and 3 are not that bad.
I think one is awful, right? Like I can't.
Yes. Like I can't watch it.
Can't watch it. Yeah. Two is close second there. But like,
I think three is fine.
Super good, right? Three is good. And
I wish they had better chemistry. How much better would it be if you believed that they were in love?
Right, because I don't. There's not one strand in my body that thinks that Anakin loved Padme. Like there's not anything. I'm supposed to believe it and I just don't. But I think what's sad is that the reason this all started, the reason that Star Wars and that the Rebels and the Empire, it was all political.
Yes.
But it's sad that it wasn't made more interesting. And I think it could have been because, like, the Clone Wars, like the actual cartoon, the Clone Wars, that is very good.
Political.
Right? And it's very good. But it's like, I truly think that, unfortunately, I think George Lucas wanted so badly to just prove that he could do this, that he could do episodes 1, 2, and 3, that he just didn't make it as exciting as it could have been. Because, you know what, politics these days are only exciting because we're you know, in Trump town and everyone doesn't want to be here. But, like, in my mind, like,
exciting or terrifying?
Well, terrifying, but like excitingly terrifying. Like I truly, I'm not sucking up to you, Jackie. I know you're one of my best friends, but like I love listening to you talk politics, and I think it's exciting. I think it's fun to listen to. That could have been episodes 1, 2, and 3. You know what I mean? Like making politics exciting and fun and something that I want to learn about would have been so great. Instead, I'm like, I don't give a fuck about the fucking Chancellor.
Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah. Who gives a fuck? No one cares. And that was what I think really happened with episodes 1.
That was a bad character.
Jar Jar was a bad character.
And he was so stupid. It was like, you're allowed to have a stupid character, but it shouldn't bring down your entire franchise a notch. You know what I mean?
No, and it just wasn't done well, because look at all the other comic relief characters we've had, like all the droids and Babu Frick and all those, like, you know.
Remember the big guy that was in episode 2 and he gives Obi-Wan he analyzes the dart that Obi-Wan brings. Who's that big fat guy? I don't remember. But like, he was more interesting than Jar Jar fucking Binks.
Yes.
Like, get at that fucking douchebag. He's such an idiot. Like, I've heard numerous times that he should be brought back and redeemed. I'm like, there is no
way. The only thing I thought was a good idea was, I did read something after Force Awakens came out that said that it was this like conspiracy theory that like the actual like bigger than Palpatine, like biggest Sith leader was Jar Jar Binks.
That would have been the only thing I would have accepted.
Me too. And the fact that like they go back and show like for such a bumbling idiot when he needed to, he had such like amazing like acrobatic skills and could fight, even though the rest of the time he's like, you know, a complete dum-dum.
Bumbling douchebag.
Yeah.
Oh God, I couldn't handle him. But he does like, oddly enough, get out of like sticky situations with hardly
That's what they anything they were, like, the most powerful being in all the land. It's fucking I would have thought that was hilarious. That would have been the only way to redeem that character.
Right? Yeah. And even then it's like, well, kill him.
I have a question for you guys. I was thinking about this recently, about how this series of films affected me personally. You know, like, so is there like one thing that for those of you who are the, you know, more super fans who have been following this for a long time, is there something that Star Wars did for you personally that was significant? That one thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear it.
So, and mine's going to be just so much Princess Leia. When I was younger, I was so obsessed with Princess Leia because she doesn't, like I said earlier, she doesn't need to be saved. And so that to me was just so powerful, because I saw that happen even before, you know, any of the princess movies that had like before I saw Star Wars, before I saw Beauty and the Beast, because up until then there wasn't a princess that didn't need to be rescued that did some of the rescuing. And so that to me was so powerful. And so, you know, what a great role model to have. And I've always been a huge fan of Carrie Fisher. I'm a fan of her writing. I think she's hilarious. Mm-hmm. I think she's wonderful. Yep. She went into cardiac arrest on the same day as my brother. And so when he was in the hospital and she was in the hospital, it was just this weird thing. So when she passed away, like that one like really hit close to home for me. And luckily my brother didn't, and my brother is doing fine. But I will always have that weird connection with her death. Where it really kind of hits close to home for me. So when she died in the movie, I was very upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, one of the things that, Star Wars did for me very early on, like I saw A New Hope when I was 5, like it made me like really excited as a kid to see that movie. And then, you know, later on, as you know, The Empire Strikes Back came out and Return of the Jedi. I mean, like, let's be real, as a child, I fucking loved Return of the Jedi because of the Ewoks. Like, I was like, it's the Ewok. Like, I was so
Ewoks
excited.
Are cool
so
as shit.
Right.
That was like, amazing at the end of this one when they're showing everyone celebrating.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. And it was like so exciting, and like everything about it made me excited to use my imagination. Mm-hmm. One of the things that it was hard to see as a young kid was a woman being in control of herself and her emotions. Mm-hmm. And that is something that Leia has done since day one. She's always mm-hmm. been like in control of her emotions. I think like She-Ra, like, let's be real, She-Ra, that was such an important character to me as a kid. And it was because she was a fucking badass, right? Like, She-Ra, Princess of Power, fuck yeah. Like, I love the idea of women owning their femininity, but then also being able to be like, no, I'm not taking any of your fucking shit. Get the fuck off me, Han Solo. I don't need you right now. But I, you know what I mean? Like that whole thing. Like I thought.
Well, and then he could give it to her and she gave it right back.
Right. Like, mm-hmm. like I just loved seeing that. And I mean, like, I'll be honest, my dad was very not present in my life growing up. And to see her be very like reminiscent of my mom, like very much in control and able to lead a situation, that meant a great deal to me. So like Stacey, I was very emotional when she passed in the movie, and when she passed in real life, I will never forget it. Like, I seriously, I sat down, Gail was like, Aaron, and I picked up my phone and I saw the news headline and I was like, oh my, and I sat down at the kitchen table and I cried. And I had a person on my Facebook say something about, I can't believe you'd cry about someone you don't know. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but I was like, excuse me? Like,
first, we cry about people we don't know all the time. They have influenced us in some way.
Exactly. Yeah. And like,
it's part of the human experience.
I cry at Hallmark movies sometimes. Like, fuck off.
Right. Well, she was like, I've just lost too many people to addiction and this and that and the other. And I'm like,
it's not all about you.
Not a contest.
Right, exactly. And I'm like, sorry, both of my parents have died. Like, I'm basically a fucking orphan. Fuck you. You know, like, that's basically what I wanted to say, but I did not. Mm-hmm. But, like, one of the things that, like, got to me was, like, this is a woman that's been in my life since I was fucking 5 years old. Yeah. Like, it is hard to say goodbye to someone that I may not know her intimately, or she's not part of my family, but my God, she's a part of my soul. And to say goodbye to that was brutal. And then just it was coming and it was imminent. Like, her death was imminent in the movie. Like, it was such an emotional, I was such an emotional train wreck. It's different too
when you feel such a connection to somebody too. It's not like it's just Carrie Fisher and she's in the movie. I've read all of her books.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, Postcards from the Edge is like one of my favorite movies ever. Like, yeah. I love Carrie Fisher.
I thought
Surrender the Pink was even one of her better works. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just different.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think part of the thing too with Carrie Fisher is she let you into her.
Yes. She's very open about all of her struggles. She didn't pretend to be something she wasn't.
Yep. Exactly. Like, she let you become a part of her because she wanted you to know that Princess Leia was a character, but Carrie Fisher was not. She was human. She was real. She was.
And I think she just put such a real face on mental health.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
she didn't hide the fact that she had addictions and she was bipolar and she, you know, like, she didn't hide any of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she talked a lot about her electroshock therapy and all kinds of stuff. And if you've never read any of her books, like, even any of her, like, nonfiction, read it. It's superb.
Yes. I think truly she's one of the most talented authors of a generation. Like, she's so good.
And then I agree. And then it was like this 1-2 punch of, like, then Debbie Reynolds and then their documentary came out on HBO like a couple weeks later. And I sobbed through the entire thing.
It was a good documentary.
Yeah, that was so good. It was so real.
Soulmates. I really think that Carrie Fisher and her mom were soulmates.
I agree.
I don't think soulmates are always romantic.
What did it mean to you, Anne?
So for me, and not a whole lot of people currently in my life know about this, but actually Aaron does. So when I saw Star Wars when I was 10, I really connected with it when I saw Empire Strikes Back. And at that time, I started to develop my artistic talent. I'm an artist. And I spent, like, I can't even tell you how many hours, days, months, years of my time honing my craft, drawing the characters from Star Wars. I have a portfolio of black and white portraits because I'm a portrait artist. That's my mostly black and white. And so I have a stack of black and white portrait sketches of the characters from Star Wars. And I actually sent Erin, so I was sending her some coasters. And then I'm like, let me just throw her a few little things here. Because I knew she loved Carrie Fisher. And I have several sketches of Carrie Fisher. And I took some copies and sent those to her. But so it really helped me develop as an artist, which as you know, it continues to come up in my life. I have different opportunities to express my creativity and in different times. And it really means a lot to have them in my life for all those years where I was developing myself personally through my craft.
It's awesome. A big impact.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to ratify one of the things I said. It wasn't the first movie I saw on VHS. It was the first non like Disney cartoon movie I saw on VHS. So I was very excited to see it. I don't want people thinking my parents didn't let me watch cartoons. Like I saw cartoons, but I should have known I was gay at 5 because I had such an immediate crush on Princess Leia, and I am too a big fan of Carrie Fisher. I think she was a phenomenal person. I haven't connected to the Star Wars franchise the way you guys have, but it doesn't dissipate my love for Carrie Fisher. Mm-hmm. I think she's a phenomenal human being who I've always had the most respect for. Anybody who can discuss their personal mental health issues publicly, despite the backlash and the kind of torment that they get because of it, I have incredible respect for. And I agree with you, Stacey. I think that her and Debbie Reynolds were soulmates of some kind. Uh-huh. And I think if you believe in that kind of thing, they will be together the next go around too, because those two together, that documentary, I cried through most of it also, because the thinking of them just not being in the world in general is difficult. Sad. And thinking of their relationship being severed was even harder, because there's there's, and I feel so bad for Billie Lord.
Yeah.
And not that she doesn't have a bright future ahead of her. She 100% does. But to have women like that in your life who truly loved her, truly, I mean, you could see it in everything they did, how they talked, the way everything, to lose that. I mean, I know some people say, well, she was even lucky to have it because I don't have it, you know, yada, yada, yada. But when you have it and then it's gone so abruptly, she will never be the same. And that's, she was lucky to have it, and it's almost more painful. I feel bad for her that she lost two such important people in her life.
So close together.
So, and there's so much, you can see so much of both of them in her. So I look forward to her future in front of the camera and not in front of the camera. I hope she's happy and healthy and,
I hope she continues to write, because whenever she writes, I'm just like enamored. She has Carrie's gift. Like,
and she sang when she posted the video on Instagram of her singing that song last week or whatever. Like, I didn't know until I watched the documentary that Carrie Fisher even sang, because she never did. But when you look at who her mom and her dad were, you're like, she could sing. That totally makes sense. And so that video of Billie Lord singing, like, totally reminded me of, like, young Carrie Fisher. And I was like, God, I hope she sings. I hope she does all the things.
All the things.
Put her in the Young Princess Leia show. I would watch the crap out of that.
Honestly, same here. And I think that would be really fucking cool. What about you? Oh, sorry.
I was going to ask Bueno.
Yeah, Bueno.
But I'm not a super fan. That doesn't count.
Yes, it does. But... yeah, it totally counts.
Okay, so the person with the R2-D2 mug, you're totally a super fan. I love Carrie Fisher, obviously, and I love Leia, and I think I was kind enough to grow up into a place where I didn't even realize that had an impact, because I was so young when I watched that in Indiana Jones, which is why I have a crush on, of course, Harrison Ford. Who doesn't?
Right? Yeah, I don't know. Take him, leave him, whatever.
But I feel like it was just a piece of my childhood. It's like there was this time when I went back to those types of movies, and it made you feel good. It made you feel happy. And then what's funny is I got to my 20s, and all of the other episodes, episode 1, 2, and 3, came out, and I started using, like, well, this is how Star Wars starts. Like, this is how the Empire comes up. like, that's what starts happening. And it just becomes a piece of just pop culture and what we know and we love. And it's just a symbol for good and hope and all of those things. And so it may not have had an effect on me as much as everybody else, but it is a piece of, like, how everybody feels. That is, it's everybody's thread. We're like, you know what? As long as you have a little bit of hope, people are going to stand up. Like, there's just one person, like, that needs to go there, and then everybody else will stand up behind them.
I'm going to push back on that a little bit, because I don't think we realize, because we were, you know, 4 and 5, even younger, when we first watched Carrie Fisher in Star Wars. I don't think we realize the impact that it had on us, because I say it about like the girls who were born now who are watching Wonder Woman, and like they're growing up with their first superhero, Captain Marvel, Wonder Woman, like all of these entities where they see them in an equation that they're equal to or better than men. And I think a lot of the third wave of feminism, I'm not crediting Carrie Fisher for it, but the idea that this can exist and it's okay and the world didn't fall apart. I think all of those things impact how we grow up as adults and kind of have pushed back on like the Me Too movement and no, you're not going to treat me like this. And no, I'm not going to stand for that. All of those little things that are instilled in you as a child have an impact on the way you view your own person and your own sex as being valid and being important and being this. That like when we were little we had Carrie Fisher, this generation has Wonder Woman like as a prolific force. So it definitely impacts it.
Right? I agree, because I remember having that thought of like, oh, she's a princess. She's not just a princess who lives in a castle.
Right.
She's a princess who makes decisions about what's happening.
Right.
And the further, you know, you go through the story, she just moves up in the ranks. And I remember thinking like, oh, like a princess can be in charge. Like it never dawned on me that a princess had any sort of authority or any sort of, you know. And I remember thinking like, a princess can shoot a laser gun? Like she can have a weapon? Like I remember having those thoughts and being like,
well, because before that, even look at like, okay, stories before that, even King Arthur, Guinevere, or like, okay,
doesn't fight for anything. She doesn't.
She's still being saved by men. This was the first character in like modern pop culture that came out and said, I don't need you to save me.
I'll be part of the team.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
So
yeah,
I think those subliminal messages that come along with it, whether people want to admit or not, fucking Hollywood, like what do they know type of thing. It affects culture. It affects how we think. It affects how we act. It affects all these things. Like the fact that there's little boys walking around right now with like Solo on the back of their shirt for soccer players, like is a real big deal. Like that would have been unheard of 10 years ago. And the women's soccer team played a part in that. Like there's these little things that happen that at the time were like, oh, this was entertaining and it was fun. And it won't matter until 30 years from now, when you look back at the end of an era, the end of Star Wars, the end of whatever, that you look back and say, oh, it started. It started there. We can see where it began kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. Cause like I think my first like, oh my God, a princess was like Cinda fucking Rella. Like, come on. You're in a tower. You lose your fucking shoe. Like, are you kidding me?
Okay. Cinderella's not a good example because she had it rough. She did, but
her only way out was a guy.
Yes,
exactly, and like the and Sleeping Beauty and a fucking.
Let's not even
talk
about that.
The
guy made out with her while she was asleep to save her. Like,
I know.
Ariel.
I mean, he didn't make out. He didn't.
The Little Mermaid literally gave up her voice for a dude. Gave up her voice.
It did not get okay until Beauty and the Beast.
Well, see, I'm just
and even
saying,
that's,
like,
eh.
Yeah, I mean, because like, she was with the fucking.
I mean, that's
beast.
Stockholm syndrome. Like, eh.
Oh, okay. No, but like, okay, like that's exactly
Frozen.
What
Frozen is where Disney turned it around.
There you go.
Oh my God, let me fucking.
Oh, actually, Brave and Mulan. Actually, before that,
I was gonna say
Mulan, Brave,
Merida from Brave.
Mulan's great.
Amazing.
I didn't love Brave.
Yeah. I didn't either, but it was a story for the first time about the mom and the daughter, and not.
Yeah.
On Hercules.
I do love Hercules.
That's one of my favorite songs. Anyway, what I was going to say is that that's just it. Like, all of these Disney movies with these weak-ass fucking princesses, in walks Princess Leia. She's like, fuck you. I'm going to be a fucking strong-ass princess. And she was. Right. And she became more and more and more. And that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm, like, I watched these other movies beforehand where it was like these weak women, and then I see Princess Leia and I'm like, not only am I gay, but that's pretty fucking cool. Although I didn't know I was gay.
Do you guys think that George Lucas, I don't know if you've read anything, did he ever talk about his intention for that character? Like, I mean, he basically, he wrote like the first feminist character.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are so many more women who had the same experience. And I'm wondering if, because I know Carrie Fisher went through hell and high water on, you know, having to look a certain way and lose weight and blah, blah, blah.
She was so young.
And she was so young. But she had a very, like, she had a fuller face. Mm-hmm. And that, like, they wanted her to look thinner in her face and blah, you know.
Well, I just know there's that whole story about him saying that she can't wear a bra because there wouldn't be any need
broad
for a
space. Space. Like, so, well, yeah, I do.
Which I'm so all for.
Let's go to space.
But I just wonder, if that was his intention to.
If he knew he was writing this.
If he knew what he was writing at the time.
I don't think he could have, I don't think anyone could have predicted, like, I mean, because he was just, a student USC when all of this kind of came to fruition.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, I assume, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, because I have not fallen into any rabbit hole of any kind, but I assume Leia was probably written about some girl he had known.
I don't even
know that it's all in the writing, though. I think a lot of the feistiness comes straight from Carrie Fisher because if you were to just read some of the dialogue, I don't know that all of her dialogue reads as like feisty.
Okay, so Hunger Games, Katniss in the movies is way more hardcore and feminist and like powerful than Katniss in the books. Katniss in the books is such like an apprehensive hero. She's like, I don't know if I can do this, yada, yada, yada.
I don't want to do
movie,
this.
Because of the woman that plays her, Jennifer, what's her last name? Jennifer Lawrence. She comes across as 100 times more powerful and like in control than the character. I was so disappointed because I watched the movies first and then I read the books. I was so disappointed in Katniss, the character in the books, like truly disappointed. Cause I'm like, she's not a hero. She got shoved into this spot and just kind of played her cards. Like that's all that happened in the book. But in the movie, Jennifer Lawrence is this presence that I think what you're saying, Stacey, is that it's the same thing with Carrie Fisher, changed the role of the actual written character.
Right. I agree. Because I'll be honest with you, Katniss, Jennifer Lawrence, was supposed to be the reluctant hero. And she wasn't because she's Jennifer fucking Lawrence.
Right.
You know, they should have got some no-name.
Right.
No, the movies are way better. That's one of the few times I will say the movies are better than the books.
Oh, see, I kind of disagree with you, but only on the last book. I think the movies are good, equal on the first two, but on the last book,
I was truly disappointed in Katniss in the books.
I think you should have read the books first. Jeez,
Jack. Yeah, you should
have. Okay. Let's put it this way.
But at least with Leia.
I want to say about Katniss first. Like, when you read a book... When you read a book, you get a narration of what's going on in somebody's mind. And unless that's done in the movie, you don't understand that reluctantness. So reading it, like, you see the cowardliness of it, but then the true action. Whereas when you watch in a movie, it's just pretty much action. And that's why, like, there's that, and it's really hard to show reluctantness unless you actually put it into a script where he says no to a whole bunch of things prior to him going.
I get what you're saying. You just get a sense of power from Jennifer Lawrence that wasn't present in the book.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. No, yeah. I 100% agree with you.
But
I think Leia has a lot of sassy lines that were written, but I don't know that it's... I don't know that if it was somebody else, the reading would be as much of an epic. I think it would come off as sassy and kind of bitchy and spoiled princess and not so much the like, hey, listen, jerk. Here's what we're going to do. Like, especially a lot of her stuff with Han Solo, it's written very sassy, but I don't know if it would have come across as like spoiled princess, like Molly Ringwald in,
it's like when you read like those things, how Julia Roberts wasn't the original cast for Pretty Woman. And you're like, I'm sorry, I can't picture anyone else playing Pretty Woman, but Julia Roberts, like the idea that anyone could have played Princess Leia besides Carrie Fisher is just
But I mean, there's lots of lines that are in there, so I'll give credit where credit's deserved. They're like, someone had to save your skins. Like, it's obviously written that she's going to come in and save them.
You're a little tall for a stormtrooper. Like,
well, somebody get this walking carpet out of my way.
But how much of that is also written after knowing Carrie Fisher and basing it around? Because you know, you hear these screenwriters say, I wrote the part for so and so. Like, I wrote the part with this person in mind. and only certain people can pull that
off. Because she gets stronger and stronger with each episode. Right. And I think, yeah, a lot of it is just the writing is tailoring to her, you know. I love the whole relationship with her and Han Solo. I think it's, I just okay. love Does that. It, that kind of like one-up competition thing is so attractive to me. And I love
Does it. Okay, does it piss anybody else off when Princess Leia is like, I love you, and then Han Solo's, I know. Fuck you, asshole. Say I love
Again,
you back.
Working some like, shit out. So,
it's like some of the most popular. Like, I saw so shirts. I saw shirts made out of that. I'm like, no, you screwed up, asshole.
No, but that's like, I hate her. That is him. He is. He is 100% in love with her, and he has been since the moment he eyes on her.
The moment he saw her.
The moment. But like,
the other thing is, too, is Princess Leia going to be with, or like anyone that doesn't challenge her every single step
no,
of every single
absolutely.
Day?
No.
Like, no, it's just, alone. It's kind she's of who out. She is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, and that's why at the end she's alone. Like, she's not with anybody when Han meets her again in The Force Awakens, because yes. no one will push her like Han pushed her. Like,
I
no one.
Know what happened between the two of them. Where did it all go wrong? I need some kind of flashback movie
with a Jedi
where she gets pregnant and then they have a baby, and I need to know why the relationship
well,
ended.
I think the whole thing behind that, though, is that sometimes your greater purpose, you. It is more important than your personal life. And I think
well,
a lot
yeah.
of this movie represents, a lot of this series represents sacrifice. People are consistently
yeah.
sacrificing their own personal needs and wants for the greater good, which let's yeah. be honest, if more people did that, we'd be in a lot better position as
mm-hmm.
an entity, as an entirety.
Humanity.
You know what though, that sacrifice thing, that's a good point, because look, Obi-Wan Kenobi sacrifices himself, you know, in A New Hope. That's how they escape. You have at the end of this movie, you have Ben sacrificing himself to save Rey. Rey sacrifices, you know, to use her Force powers to heal him. There is a lot of sacrifice. Leia sacrifices herself to try and turn
but
her
what's,
son back.
What's more
her
pure?
Son.
What is more purely love than ultimately sacrificing? Like saying that. I love you, but because of my commitment to 1 billion people, that's more important than my own mm-hmm. personal feelings.
That is why I feel like Luke Skywalker is the most fucking selfish in all
yes.
of Star Wars.
Yes.
All of them. Like, he is so fucking selfish.
He just knows he's the most powerful, and he's like, fuck him. I'm going to go live. I'm going to be a hermit.
Island fucking... What are they? Pogs? Porgs? What are they? Porgs?
They're so cute, though.
They are cute.
Even though
so
Chewbacca
roasted Even C-3PO sacrifices himself, like sacrifices his
right.
memory being erased.
Yeah.
So that
I'm
they
taking know. One last look at my friends.
Oh my god!
Wait,
My Star Wars friends, you guys, I'm sure you know it. What's the quote from, I think it's Rose, where she's like, this war is not going to be won from revenge. It's going to be won by saving the ones we love.
Right, yeah.
yeah.
I'm
yeah.
like, oh my God, this is that movie. It has nothing to do with you getting back at somebody. It has you saving somebody.
Well, right. that's all right. of Rogue One.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, I love Rogue One.
Phenomenal.
The end of this movie reminded me of it so much, where they're just waiting. Like, where's our backup? Where's our backup? Where's our backup?
Mm-hmm.
And it just reminded me of that. The, like, we're going to hold them off as long as we can. But, like, if other people, like, there's all these other worlds whose future depends on this. And they're all too afraid to show up and say something. And I thought that was such a metaphor for what's going on in the world right now. Like,
right.
it's going to take everybody to mm-hmm. fix this
yeah.
thing. And not just this group of rebels. And so when they finally, when Lando, which, surprise, I didn't know he's going to be in this movie. And I was like,
you
did
it?
No, I don't know how.
I didn't know.
So when Lando shows up, I was like, oh my God. But like, when they show up at the end, it was just that, like, yes, everybody has to take that risk and take that chance. And if you don't, like, it's not enough.
I agree.
You know, but that whole sacrifice thing, like, that's all of Rogue One. Like, the end of Rogue One, like, the last 10 minutes, I sobbed through.
Oh, my God.
It's just poetic, right? Loving
right.
something
so
more
poetic.
Than yourself.
Right?
Well, and that has that whole love story that never comes to fruition
Right, because they die.
All die.
What about Zori's line when she said that the power that they have is that nobody will believe that you could like stand up to them or something.
Right.
What was that line where she said you have to believe that you will have people support you.
Yes.
And that
once you lose hope.
That was a great line. It made me kind of think of, we're not talking about this tonight, but maybe kind of think of some of the current day challenges and opportunities for improvement.
Yeah.
Right?
Ops for amps.
She was great, though. I loved Zori. I liked her a lot.
I did too. I really liked her character.
Was that played by Carrie Fisher?
Carrie Russell.
Yeah.
Carrie Russell, yeah.
So, how is everyone's alcohol tonight? Great. Clearly good, because we're heading into an hour and 30 minutes here. So,
what a Star Wars. It's 42 years worth of conversation, all tied together in 80 minutes.
So my wine is delicious.
I still have a lot left.
So for those of you that get the news from us, which again, you should not do.
Let's not talk about what's happened this week.
I'm gonna do a 2-minute thing on it because we are running out of time. But
hold on, can I say the one that she said that got me was the when she said they win by making you think you're alone.
Yes,
that's it.
Yes,
which in turn means vote for Warren 2020. Okay. we are not intentionally skipping over the assassination in Iran. Okay. We will talk about it. We will give you our thoughts on it. There's a reason that the last two presidents chose not to go down this path. President Trump had a different calculus. We will go into that in our next episode, which will be next week. We'll see how it unfolds. I am personally not for it. It's also one of the reasons that I've always been apprehensive about voting for presidents who haven't served in the military, because I don't think they understand the real world consequences and the repercussions of when you choose to assassinate a figurehead like this, of what it means for our men and women on the ground. So, I have some real strong feelings about it, not that I can cover right now. And we will talk about it, though. Don't think that we won't. We're not skipping over it. But again, go read something else. Don't count on us for your news. We're not good at it.
Right.
Although we just talked about
Star Wars for an hour and a half.
I did count on you, Jackie, when all this was going down yesterday, and I was like, Jackie, what the fuck? And you were like, a very long, well said text. I even read it to Gail. I was like, I'm voting for Jackie 2020. I don't know about you.
Not running, so don't do that. Vote for Warren.
Way too many.
Warren. Yeah, for sure. Warren. I will never not vote for Warren. I love Warren.
Vote for Piper.
But yeah, we are aware. We're not intentionally skipping over it. We will talk about it, because it's going to be a shit show, and it's going to my heart truly, and I know people say this, but my heart truly goes out to the friends and family members of our military right now, because this is who it's going to impact the most, because we are already starting to redeploy troops. And it's the choices that were made, like the one that was just made by President Trump, it's going to affect American families.
Have lasting effects.
Yeah, it's going to have lasting effects. And we are radicalizing an entire new generation of terrorists. And we are hurting our current generation of military family members and service members. So I will talk more about that next week. But so we can all simmer in that shit show. Australia's on fire.
If you guys are on here and serving, thank you for serving.
Tune in next week.
Yes.
It's not funny, but. All right.
It's not, but it's like, what else can you fucking
do? What else can you do?
You gotta laugh or you're gonna go nuts.
Everyone's alcohol good?
Yes.
Yeah.
So good.
Let them eat cake.
It's in a galaxy.
This is why we don't get sponsorships for wine. Because at the end, we're just like, yeah, it's good, whatever.
good. Yeah. I would drink it watching Star Wars, discussing Star Wars, or listening to Star Wars. All the things Band of Roses, Rosé, Washington State, 2018.
And Summerwood is still tasting amazing. And they actually have not only a vineyard, but they have an inn as well. So you can go and stay at the inn. So you don't have to walk very far to your tasting room.
And you let us know when you come to California.
Yeah. We'll maybe a summer... A summer wine vacation.
It's on my list. I do need a Central Coast California visit.
We're here, man.
We're in.
You need a place to stay? All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in this week. And
May the force be with you.
Also with you.
May the always force be with you.
Sorry, my Catholicism just kicked in.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
And Bueno, thank you so much for joining us. And I'm sure Gene and Stacy are very sad that they missed this episode, but they'll be here next week.
So sad.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.